We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Monday morning. Hope that you're having a great day and hope that you had a great weekend. We had a tremendous weekend at First Baptist Texarkana. Yesterday was just a wonderful day of singing the Lord's praises. And then we did something fun on Sunday night, something we've done for the last several years. We had outdoor movie night for kids and for their families. And we showed two cartoon movies about Christmas. And then we just had hot chocolate and popcorn. And we did a candy cane lane where they got candy and just a lot of fun out on the ball field. They just had blankets. It was a little cold not to sugarcoat that, and so you had to be bundled up. But it was just a great, great day. And this is a great morning. And so I have a dear friend in the music business who is, we've known each other for, gosh, probably 10, 15 years. He is a guitar legend, Doyle Dykes. He's been on the program a couple of other occasions. And Doyle was in Dallas last night for a concert, and he came through last night late, got to Texarkana to be on the program today. And so, yeah. Doyle, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Pastor Jeff. And yeah, I'm here on purpose for sure.
Very good. Well, Doyle has a wonderful Christmas CD out called Christmas with Doyle Dykes, 18 songs to get you in the Christmas spirit. And so I encourage you to go to doyledykes.com or Spotify or Apple Music, wherever you get your music, and pick up a copy of that. They laugh at me, Doyle, because when you were here back in 2011, I think, I got a bunch of your CDs, and they're still in my CD player. You know, I have an old car that had a CD player, and every time they would come in, so Jay Budzilowski, my son-in-law, who helps us, he said, "Okay, it's either going to be Denver and the Mile High Orchestra or Doyle Dykes, because those are the only two CDs I really play." But anyway, you've always been a favorite of mine. I could listen to you for days.
Well, you're my favorite, too. I appreciate you. I was in a hotel not long ago, and I turned on the TV, and there you are. It was comforting.
All right, so Christmas time is a fun time for you.
Oh, yeah, I love Christmas. I mean, of course, going back to my childhood, I had a wonderful dad, had wonderful parents, and they loved Christmas. Dad, I mean, you know, he was like a kid, you know, and he always, we did Christmas caroling, too. We did a lot of things like that. We'd go to people's homes and shut-ins, you know, people that couldn't get out, and then hospitals. It was just so much fun. Of course, we had acoustic guitars. My brother was a keyboard guy, but he had the accordion.
Oh.
So, you know, we'd have 15, 20 people go.
That's quite an interesting. Can you play the accordion?
No. Thank the Lord. I that would wear me out. I mean, yeah. I don't know how people play those things.
It's amazing.
Your wrists. I tried it a couple of times, but I had an uncle also that played, and my brother's incredible. But he would play a train song, and he'd get the bellows kind of like a harmonica, you know, and he'd go back and forth. I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
But it's kind of related to a harmonica in some ways because you can go both ways on
So your whole family growing up, pretty much everybody's musical, even your mom?
Yeah, yeah. Mom too. And her side of the family was country. My uncle that I was named after was a country artist way back in the day. He knew Roy Clark, Little Jimmy Dickens, oh man, Eddie Arnold, and they all loved him. I mean, he was a really good musician. Roy Clark told me, he said, "I'd have never been on Hee Haw. I'd have never been able to do a monologue, or I'd have never been on, like, on the Johnny Carson show. He used to fill in for Johnny Carson. Had it not been for your uncle, he said he taught me show business. So
this is Uncle Doyle?
Yeah, from my mother's side. And plus, he was a great guitar player, but especially singer. He had that, you know, the old Gene Autry, I know that someday you want me, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And so, but he had that. He had that something very, very special.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, I was thinking today, because I got up early and I was listening to some of your Christmas songs, and I was thinking about how guys with the guitar, you have guys that, like you, that are finger style, that dig into that style, mm-hmm. and then you have the flat pickers, you go the rock and roll style. Who do you know, Doyle, that is proficient on both? Because it seems like it's guys one way or the other.
Well, I know several, actually, that are. Eric Johnson, you know, is. Eric's style of playing finger style is a little bit different because he doesn't use a thumb pick like me.
Okay.
And he plays more, eclectic kind of music. You know, it can be not kind of neoclassical, a lot of things that he writes. He also does some Christmas songs. I've heard him do some beautiful hymns and Christmas songs like that. But he's known for being a rock guitar player. He's amazing. Okay. Tommy Emmanuel is just as good with a flat pick as he is.
Could Glenn Campbell do that?
Glenn Campbell could finger pick, but Glenn Campbell, all like James Burton, you know, from right up the road here in Shreveport, played with Elvis. James is a really good friend of mine. He still uses a flat pick, but he uses his fingers, his second and third fingers, to pick. Uh-huh. And Glenn Campbell did that the same way. I call it hybrid.
Okay.
So, you know, but the thing with a thumb pick like I use, it frees the index finger from holding, you know.
Right.
And it's a different style of playing. You do triplets like that. Yeah, you can do. You can do a banjo. Let's see. But with a thumb pick, you know, you're covering your bass. That's Merle Travis style, you know, where he went. I think we talked about that on the show. Yeah, and Chet Atkins, which is a little more refined.
Right. Now, was Chet a thumb picker?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Could he go flat pick if he wanted to?
Yeah, he could.
Because he was
he would do it with his thumb pick, typically.
Oh, he would?
All those guys back in, and I've played with Les Paul, you know, I've played with Merle Travis, Chet Atkins. I mean, I'm old, Jeff. I've been around. I'm a lot older than you are. But I noticed they all gravitated around. Their hero was Django Reinhardt. All those guys.
Okay.
And so Chet also, if you hear his early stuff, it was a lot. It was very Django sounding, even though he played finger picking too, you know.
Well, I've never heard that name. What
Django?
Was that?
Uh-huh. He was a French jazz guitar player, and he played so different because when he was younger, he was a gypsy.
Okay.
And they had those gypsy caravans. Well, uh-huh. His trailer thing caught on fire, and it burned his hand so bad he lost like three of his fingers. And so he only had his thumb and I think two fingers, so he would do all this stuff. It was linoleum. You know, linear instead of like playing. He would do it somehow with two fingers.
Oh, wow.
He wouldn't run it up and down, up and down the neck, you know, uh-huh. instead of doing scales like we would do with several fingers.
Yeah.
But it created a sound and a style that, you know. That was one of his. Anyway,
yeah,
he's amazing.
Wow.
But that's
amazing.
Who Les Paul really was influenced more than anybody by, uh-huh. and also Willie Nelson.
Uh-huh.
Willie plays that way because of Django uh-huh. Reinhardt.
Okay, so your big influences obviously Chet Atkins, and then Merle Travis,
mm-hmm.
and
Jerry Reed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And would you put Jerry in the same category as far as ability with Chet?
He wrote about a third of the songs that Chet recorded.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know, the songs I've... And a lot of people... You know, a lot of people know him from The Claw, uh-huh. You know, but a lot of the stuff he wrote for Chet, it was just beautiful stuff. If you look on Chet's early records and says Jerry Hubbard or Jerry Reed Hubbard, uh-huh. It was Jerry Reed, but he went by Jerry Hubbard in those days. It uses Jerry R. Hubbard, uh-huh. But that was Jerry Reed.
Yeah. Now, was he a buddy of yours?
I never got to know. I was too shy around him. I mean, he was a big hero. I mean, even though I knew Chet and got to pick with him, you know, I never played on stage with Jerry, but I was around him some.
Yeah. You know, I think from a novice like so many of us, you know, mm-hmm. We just see somebody that's a really good player, and especially somebody that's a good player and a good singer. Mm-hmm. So Glenn Campbell, Jerry Reed, you know, because mm-hmm. We know it. Amos Moses was a Cajun, you know. I mean, yeah. That was such a popular song.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah, he was amazing. He had this thing. Anyway, it was almost like a Grandpa Jones playing his banjo. It's like.
Yeah,
it was a frailing thing on the guitar.
It sounded cool, but you know, when we somebody from my perspective, you hear a guy that's a good singer, and you don't necessarily think that he's maybe a good guitar player.
Oh, but he was an amazing guitar player.
So Chet was a singer and a guitar player.
Chet was not known for singing. But, yeah, it's funny. I heard Merle Travis say, Chet, one time they went to him, a record company, he says, we would like for you to be on our label. Can you sing? Oh, no, I don't sing. And he says, well, we need a singer, too. He says, well, no, I can't sing a lick. I don't sing at all. And they said, well, we need somebody like Merle Travis. Oh, well, I can sing that good.
So, okay, Willie Nelson as a guitar player.
Oh, he's amazing.
Is he a good guitar player?
Yeah, he's a very, very good guitar player. You know, his style with that trigger, you know. Mm-hmm. Trigger was made by a friend of mine. His guitar, they call Trigger, that he wore the hole in him.
Yeah.
But he went to Shot Jackson because there was back in the day, you couldn't amplify a nylon string guitar.
Okay.
They didn't have it. And this company called Baldwin came out with a pickup. But the guitar itself was cheap, but he loved the sound of it so much, and you had to have one of their amps. And so that's what he was using, and somebody stepped on his guitar and just crushed it. So he went to Shot Jackson, who was very well known in Nashville. He owned a company called Showbud Steel Guitars, him and Buddy Emmons. Show was Shot. And Shot made things for me, you know, because I'm going to do something for the hat passer. And he always had a chewing tobacco. Here for the hat passer. I got you some speakers made back here, you know. And he'd fix my guitars and jazz them up. Well, he did that for Willie. He said, well, here's a Martin. It's a lot better guitar, but I can put that pickup in that Martin. And that became Trigger.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And what did you say that thing's worth?
What now?
What did you say Trigger's worth? His guitar?
Oh, I'm priceless. Yeah, I mean, you can't put a price on anything like that.
Yeah. Well, now you were given, was it Chet's guitar?
Yeah, I have it in the car. You know, it's amazing. I mean, this is a time for giving, especially. I mean, not that any other time of the year we shouldn't give, but Christmas, we want to give.
Right.
And a gift can be life-changing. You know, and the Bible says if you have it in you to do it and to give something or to be a blessing to somebody, and don't withhold it and say, well, I'll do it tomorrow,
right,
whatever,
right.
You know, that you should do that. And the Message translation says your hand will be God's hand.
Oh, wow.
And so he called me over to his office, and I didn't even know he really knew who I was or what I did. And, you know, we'd met, but you know, he said, if you, he was coming down the stairs, I have something I think will help you in your ministry. And it was one of his guitars, and gave it to me. And it was in 1991, and I carried it out usually at Christmas, and it's here today. It's in the car. But
how cool. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to one of my dear friends, Doyle Dykes, guitar legend Doyle Dykes. And he's playing, and we're just chatting about. And Doyle has a great Christmas CD. If you like guitar music like I do, pick up and go check out Christmas with Doyle Dykes, 18 songs for the season to get you ready for Christmas. We're T-minus 14 and counting, getting close to the big day. And such a great, wonderful time of year. I love the Christmas music. So pick up Christmas with Doyle Dykes. You won't be sorry. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my good friend Doyle Dykes, guitar legend Doyle Dykes. And Doyle, you've been playing your guitar since you were a young teenager.
Yeah.
13, 14 years old?
I actually started at 11. You know, that's when I really knew in my knower that I was saved. I had just, but even as a kid, I just didn't have that assurance in my heart. And one day we had a revival meeting, and I'll never forget, it just, something went off on the inside of me, and it affected me so much. I turned around in my chair and I knelt down in church. Nobody told me to, and I remember raising my hands to God and saying, Lord, give me a job to do, and I'll always tell people about you. I didn't play the guitar until right after that. I started playing. I had messed around with it a little bit, but that's when I really started playing. And somebody asked me recently, are your fingers insured? Because look at all these years I've been playing. I said, no, but they're on Medicare now. So.
Okay, so for you, when you're 11 years old, you put a guitar in your hands. Is it you just pick it up like that? Or because you had to really work at it.
Yeah, I mean, but my family are musical. Dad was a guitar player, and uh-huh. he taught me chords. I mean, you start off with a chord, you know, and then F was a hard one.
Yeah.
So after playing a few chords, I could hear melodies, and there's a melody in a chord, you know, uh-huh. like. And that was my first solo at church. Remember that song?
Which one is that?
I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I remember praying, Lord, help me, F. And my soul. But that was my first solo at church.
And, yeah. I think all guitar players know that the F is a hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you get into bar chords.
Yeah.
And so when you play, if you have a choice between a bar chord or regular, just playing a chord, do you have a... just whatever.
Well, in fingerstyle, you make it work for the song, you okay. know. And like Chet was one of the best, like it. Mm-hmm. see, if I had a bar on it, I had to play it differently.
Right.
I'm playing with my thumb.
Yeah.
On the sixth string, and I could play a bar chord, but this way you can't get behind the bar, so you just take an F and run it way up here on the, you know, that'd be the 10th fret. And so you learn to play around. And Merle Travis was great at that. He had, they call them thumb overs, you know, where you're putting your thumb over the sixth string.
Uh-huh.
But it frees your other fingers up to get behind those frets. Where a bar chord is like a capo, but it's, you're using your finger instead of something you clamp on your guitar.
Yeah. Okay, we were talking at the break about guys that are good guitar players and good singers. So you said Johnny Cash was a good guitar player?
Yeah, Johnny Cash was a good rhythm guitar player, you know. Uh-huh. And remember that time he was playing, he put a $100 bill and he go... Remember that?
No,
yeah,
that?
I taught the weeping willow how to cry, cry, cry. You remember the song that got Johnny Cash out of prison, though, don't you?
It was.
Okay, sorry, folks.
Okay, so you had played a song on your Sunday string along.
Uh-huh.
Would you tell a little bit about that, Doyle? Because that's now on television.
Yeah. Well, I started off during the pandemic just wanting to do something for churches, so I started doing videos. And Lee University, in the town where I live, they said, well, yeah, you can use the chapel. It's a beautiful thing. And so I went over just by myself. Nobody, you know, couldn't get around anybody. And I would record these on a little camera. And then I got a better camera, and because more people started watching. My daughter said, well, you have your own YouTube channel. I didn't even know it. And she said, well, you have over 500 subscribers. And I don't know how many we have now. It's over 20,000. But the thing is, I just wanted to reach people. You
right.
know, I just, what do you have in your hand to do? What is it that you can do? And so I started this thing called Sunday String Along. And I thought, well, you know, I can just share my testimony and maybe a message that God gives me. And that's what I do. And, you know, yesterday, you remember the song, the smile on your face lets me know that you need me. You know, you say it best when you say nothing at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about, you know, giving to people. If you know somebody has a need, you don't just go up and say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. If you know they have a need, you know, I remember I had a brain tumor about, it's almost 20 years ago now, but it took the hearing on my right side, and it was just an awful time, the worst time in my life, fit my personal life, you know. And people, I don't remember, hardly anybody would say, if you need anything, let me know. And I say that to people too. We all do. But this one guy, well, he knew I needed help. I was off for 3 months. Well, it was supposed to have been. I ended up, Rick Warren was the first guy. They asked me to go out to Saddleback because I said, that's going to be my goal. So I made it in 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So I turned 3 months into 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was at Saddleback. But the thing is, this pastor down, he was a choir director, music director at First Baptist Thomasville, Georgia, sent me a check for $500. I still remember that today.
Wow.
In Jordan. And it was just because it touched my heart, because I know he didn't have a lot of money.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, when you have it, then you know someone needs it. You say it best when you say nothing at all. He didn't say a word. He just sent me a check. Mm-hmm. Other people just sent cards. I still kept those cards. Still have, you know, those cards. That we're praying for you. We're doing something for you, you know. And so I think it's very important this time of year that, you know, we give gifts to people outside of our family. If you know there's a need, you know, you
right.
just share that. And it might just be a text. It might just be, you know, I was just thinking about you. And I love right. you, brother, you know, whatever.
Right. Or something you can do for them, like if you're laid yeah. up, you, hey, I'm going to mow your yard, or I'm going to do
it. Let me, can I give you a real quick story?
Sure.
My mama was 82 You know, she's 96 this month. But years ago, after Dad died, he'd been dead several years, and I said, Mama, please tell me you're not going to get on that riding lawnmower again. And she would at 80, and you know, 80. Well, I don't mind that. I just sit on there, and she's got like an acre and a half down in Florida. I said, Mama, please just tell me you're not going to do that. Promise me. Mm-hmm. And finally she says, okay. And I had to go back home. And when I got to Tennessee, the next morning she calls me, guess what I woke up to the sound of? I said, what? She says, a riding lawnmower. She said that Webster, and his name was Webster, which is in that song I was talking about, you know, mm-hmm. smile on your face. And she said, he didn't say anything at all. He just went out there, started mowing my grass, and he's done it ever since.
Oh, you know? Wow.
So that's a blessing. And you're right. You say it best when you say nothing, nothing at all.
Well, okay, so you had mentioned on a Sunday String Along after Thanksgiving, I think, you talked about Jingle Bells, and you said Jingle Bells wasn't a Christmas song. It was supposedly a Thanksgiving song.
According to Wikipedia. Now, we do believe everything we see on Wikipedia.
Yeah. So play us a little bit of Jingle Bells.
Okay. Everybody sing. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride a lawnmower. You know this one. Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. First Baptist is growing. Pastor Jeff's got it going. He's got old Jay running in there, cause Christmas time's coming. I like this. Can't hear the bells ringing, ringing. Joy, joy, hear them singing. When it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. And I know I'm going home.
All right. Very good. Okay. We're talking about good singers and good musicians, and sometimes they're in the same body, but oftentimes they're not. Grandpa Jones.
Oh, Grandpa, well, yeah. One of my favorite songs he ever did was a little song.
Was he a good singer?
Grandpa was a great singer. You know, until he got older and couldn't hear from all those years of shooting out there with his buddies, out in the holler, you know, target shooting and hunting and stuff without any ear protection. He was an amazing singer. He was old-time country. He says, now, I'm not bluegrass. I'd hear him. The guys would come in a bus sometimes, or motorhome. We always had a motorhome. Uh-huh. And they say, well, Grandpa, you're bluegrass. No, I'm not bluegrass. He said, well, what's the difference? Well, he says, you know, Bill Monroe, you know that song Blue Moon of Kentucky? He said, yeah. He said, well, Bill Monroe would sing Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining, you know. And he said he would put the emphasis on of Blue Moon of Kentucky.
Yeah.
He said, well, how would you do it? Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining. He said, now that's old time country. And he said, well, yeah, but Bill wrote that song. He said, yeah, well. But Grandpa had a song. Let's see, to your grave, the last one, talking about giving. To your grave, there's no use taking any gold. You cannot use it when it's time for hands to fold. When you leave this earth for a better home someday, the only thing you'll take is what you gave away. Falling leaves that lie scattered.
Yeah.
He wrote that song. And Grandpa would, he would quote Shakespeare sometime. We'd be riding down the road, and he's, yeah, we got Shakespeare there. And but he was well-read, and he was writing a book when I was with him, 50 years behind the mic, and if you, it's still out there.
Didn't you tell me he was known as Grandpa Jones when he was in his 20s?
Yeah, he was.
He was always old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a character, but he sounded old. And his son Mark traveled with me. We did a lot of shows out in Texas. He traveled with me some, and Mark passed away during COVID. He sounded just like his daddy.
Is that right?
Yeah, he just had that. Well, hey, Noel, you know, and he just had that. And if you'd have heard him on the mic, you would have thought he was an old man, and he was like just a kid back then. You know,
was he much of a musician as far as playing an instrument?
Played just like his dad. Uh-huh. Played a banjo. And now Grandpa, I mean, Chet Atkins even called him over to his office one day. He says, "Teach me how to do that frailing stuff," you know, because Grandpa just had a special touch on that type of playing. And you think, oh, he's just kind of framing the banjo. You try it. Uh-huh. It was, and I still can't do it.
Is that right?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay, so Doyle, who are some guys you've come in contact with that you've really admired, and then you've gotten to know them, and you say, that guy is for real. He loves the Lord. Because, you know, what you see on stage and what you see behind the curtain, sometimes that's not the same thing. And that guy is not who he pretends to be. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk a lot on this program about, you know, God wants our public life, our private life, and our secret life to all be the same in the light with Jesus. I think one of the reasons I love you so much is because you're the same. And I've been around you a lot, and you love the Lord, and it's genuine. So who are some people you've met in your career that are genuine, you say, that guy really walks it out?
Well, years, I mean, we can go back years on this, because when you say that, who's affected my career, back in the day, Billy Grammer on the Grand Ole Opry was a friend of mine. He introduced me to Grandpa Jones, and he recommended me for the job. But Billy was a great guitar player, but he loved the Lord with all of his heart. You know, he really did, and he would not compromise. And I had an opportunity one time to play with this group, and they did a lot of clubs and things. He says, "Now, Doyle, you know," he said, "now we're believers." And he says, "Now I know you don't want to play in places like that." I said, "Well, no, sir." He says, he said, don't compromise, because what you compromise to gain, you're going to lose it. You're going to ultimately lose that. I tell you, he was a big influence in my life. But there were other people like Chet, for instance. You know, Chet didn't talk openly as much about the Lord until his later years, you know, but he was a Christian. He loved God. And then when there are other people I know that are just good people. Eric Johnson, during the pandemic, you know, people said, "Was Eric a Christian?" Well, he's a believer, and I believe he's a seeker. Mm-hmm. I don't like to talk about people's private life that much, but at the same time, you know, he would never take money for online lessons and things like that. He said, "Well, just give to your local food bank during the pandemic," things like that. You meet people like that are really genuine people. That you appreciate. But as far as you know, my walk with the Lord, there were some people on the Grand Ole Opry, like Skeeter Davis, that loved the Lord. And there were some really fine folks. Grandpa was one of those.
Good. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Doyle Dykes. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines. And if you have a question for Doyle, I think he'd be more than happy to answer you. And the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we're just talking about Christmas. We're talking about his career and how God has blessed him and used him. Christmas with Doyle Dykes is his CD for the season. So check it out, doyledykes.com or at Apple Music or Spotify. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. I'm here with Doyle Dykes, and we're talking about Christmas, and we're talking about his career on the guitar and traveling around the country and around the nation, or around the world playing the guitar. You've been in other countries playing the guitar, haven't you, Doyle?
Oh, yeah, many times. I've been to mainland China playing my guitar.
Wow.
And even shared some things about the Lord a number of times. And also South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Japan. I've been all over Europe. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Okay, so how does, because you've made the joke about you can play all styles of music, except it all comes out country. How does country music translate in some of those other places?
Well, you know, they'd never heard anything like that before. And so the amazing thing is when I was in China, they were all young people.
Yeah.
I mean, here I'm the Cracker Barrel crowd, which I'm quite happy with. But over there, I noticed there were so many millennials. Yeah, I thought, my Lord, the whole crowd is young. And they have other rock stars around. I'm thinking, well, they're not going to, you know, come to meet me or talk to me, but they did. I mean, it was amazing. But I think because I offered something different.
They've never heard that before.
I don't think so. Not like that, you know. And they had me on a program that said that we would like for you to show a song. It was like an internet magazine. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, instead of that, I'll show you how I started finger picking. So I gave them a lesson on finger style, the one I learned from Barry the Sailor. You remember the story?
Right, right.
And so it's all over China.
How cool.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah.
And the people there are great. I mean, the kids were wonderful, you know.
Well, so, I remember you telling me it has to click in your brain how to disconnect your thumb from the rest of your fingers.
My dad used to say you have to brainwash your thumb, you know, and he was a thumber when he passed away, but he played with a flat pick. But when I started finger style, it took a while for me, but when he heard me one day, then I was playing a Chet song, he said, son, can you show me what that sailor showed you? And then he took off from there and learned the same way I did. And that was an honor to do that. Dad was a hero to me. I mean, he was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful. You were talking about people influence. He was a big one,
yeah.
My dad. But also, you know, we were talking about Ricky Skaggs a while ago. Now, there's a genuine guy. And
right.
Ricky's been a friend of mine. I was out in the backyard one day during the pandemic. And I had a little pandemic pup that we rescued from never had her feet on the ground from a pet shop in Florida. And my sister-in-law and brother-in-law brought her up, and so I'm out there walking her around, and God spoke to me, and he said, tell Ricky Skaggs you love him. And I said, well, he knows I love him, you know. It's kind of, I don't want to bother Ricky, and it was real strong. Do it now. And I said, Ricky, I love you. And he contacted me right back. I love you, Doyle. What are you doing to so-and-so, you know, September? And, of course, there wasn't a whole lot going on then. And I want you at the Opry. We're doing two days of worship music. And I want you to be on there, you know, with me. And so, anyway, he's a wonderful guy. And he donated his time, and, of course, I did. And it turned out to be a wonderful thing.
We tried to get him last Christmas, and it didn't work out.
He's busy. Yeah, he's doing Christmas shows. I did a fundraiser at a place called Songbirds Museum in Chattanooga the other night. And, you know, we raised over $7,000. They told me on the way here. I didn't know,
I didn't know
if anybody would even come, but it was a blessing. They give guitars to kids.
Uh-huh.
And Ricky was going to be in the area right there the next night. So he's out. I know he's working. And Andy Lefwich, the fiddle player that you've had, does a lot of Christmas stuff. And Ricky and Vince Gill, he's also a wonderful guy. But Vince is known for his, and of course, Vince and Amy, known for their Christmas program.
Right,
you know.
Right. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Ray on the line from Texas. Ray, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Shreve. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ray?
I'm real good. I got a question for Doyle.
Uh-huh. Okay. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Doyle.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I was wondering, my cousin's uncle, I call him Uncle Joe, too, Joe Edwards. Did you ever play with him?
Oh, many times. Yeah, Joe was on the Opry back when I was with Grandpa.
Yes,
I mean, the first time back when I was, before I started soloing on the Opry, back in the 70s. And Joe was a wonderful guitar player. In fact, I saw him with Martha Carson when I was a teenager. And I dreamed of playing on the Opry. Didn't know just a few years later I'd be there. And there was Joe.
Yeah, you know, he played fiddle for him too, didn't he, on the Opry?
He did. He played fiddle. Joe was a savant. He could play most anything he picked up.
Yeah,
and a real nice guy too.
When he comes and plays with my cousins, they're his nephews. Like I said, I call him Uncle Joe too, though. Uh-huh. He would play with him. He could play any style of music, and that man was great. I just called his sister the other day and was seeing how he was, because I was wondering if he played on a Jingle Bell Rock or not, because I know he played in Bobby Helms' band.
You know, I'm not sure. I think in the studio, that was Hank Garland, I'm pretty sure, that played on that.
It was, because she wasn't real sure either. And, well, evidently she told me he's not doing real good right now, so he probably wouldn't remember himself. So we got to keep him in our prayers.
Yeah, we sure will. Well, thanks for mentioning Joe Edwards.
Yeah. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate your call. We have Max on the line from Ohio. Max, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, welcome, and thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Doyle, my dad was a preacher. I'm 912 months old, and I've been picking a little bit, had records out. But your style and the style that comes from Nashville is the best, and our kids could emulate that with good poise if they would follow. And the lyrics, like Keith Whitley, it's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. You know, his songwriting put him, but we also have to understand how Keith Whitley died.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol and cigarettes and living the devil's life is not good.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, he was real close to Ricky Skaggs. They grew up together, and you know, it was a sad thing when he passed away. And by the way, let's see, it was Overstreet that wrote that, and Don Schlitz that wrote When You Say Nothing at All. Wonderful song, and he sure pulled it off good. He was the first guy to have a hit on that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, thank you, Max. I appreciate that. We have Buck on the line from Ohio. Buck, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. I've enjoyed so much this show. I thank you for having Doyle on, because it's been a real eye-opener. Doyle, is there anything you could recommend as far as videos, et cetera, that would teach somebody how, like me, who was just a novice, to play in the way that you do? You get more music out of that guitar than anybody I think I've heard in a long time.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, you know, I've had a lot of several people that have asked me to do videos for them and sell them and things, and that's all good. But you know, I may do something with somebody one day. I'm not saying I'm not. I just haven't felt that inkling. But if you go to Sweetwater online, just Sweetwater Music, there are some, and put Doyle Dykes finger picking techniques, and it shows you the difference in Chet Atkins and Merle Travis, and also has the Barry the Sailor that I was telling Pastor Jeff that I taught my dad how to play, and it's online and it's free.
That's great. Thank you so much. I love your playing. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that so
Buck
much.
I've been around Doyle a long time and I still can't play.
We need to hang out more.
Yeah, he's amazing. All right, we have Tom from Texas on the line. Tom, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. Thank you very much, and bless you all. I just want to say I really thank Doyle Dykes. About a year ago, I was listening to radio in Baton Rouge, and I heard a similar presentation from Doyle with somebody. I don't remember if it was with Jeff. But I ended up buying every CD available last December from Doyle. I grew up in Southern Illinois in the coal mining industry, and so Merle Travis and 16 Tons was one of the songs I grew up with. And my first job was driving into Paradise, Kentucky, and I was listening to a song called Paradise by John Prine as I'm driving into Paradise. Mm. And I'm learning and talking to people in Kentucky, and I learned that a man that influenced Merle Travis was actually in that area, and his name was Mose Rager. And yeah, I had the privilege of sitting on his porch and playing with Mose Rager for a little time. And just wondering if you had ever met Mose.
Never had a chance to meet him or Ike Everly, and he gives kind of both of them credit. I think Mose probably more than anybody, but Ike Everly, also the Everly brothers' father, was also in the mix of all that. And but yeah, Mose Rager and Merle, he just took those tunes that they had and basically kind of refined a few of them, put his own ideas there. Of course, he was more of a songwriter, but those little licks like that. Like that. They're walking the strings and all like that. He got all that from Mose Rager and Ike Everly. But he just made them famous.
Okay, so let me ask you this. In the music world, because like if I hear something, somebody preaches good and then I take it and I use it, but I don't give him credit. You know, in today's world, it's like, well, you're plagiarizing that guy. How does that work in the music world?
Well, I mean, it works the same way, basically. But back in the day, I mean, like a lot of people say that Merle Travis, and he might take credit on something. I am a pilgrim. That, you know, that was my dad's favorite tune to pick. And but that was just an old traditional tune, you know. Merle just made it famous and put his own spin on it. May have even written another verse or two to it, you know. And that's the way a lot of that went back then. And a lot of those songs, it was just an old Brush Arbor song. I think that's what Mose Rager said. It was just an old Brush Arbor song, you know. That's what they called them.
What does that mean?
Brush Arbor. I'm way older than you, Jeff. Pastor Jeff, I should say. No, that's the way they used to. They had revivals and they'd have them outside.
It's like a public domain.
It was like a camp meeting.
Okay,
but a small one. Brush Arbor meetings back in the day,
and so all that was fair game.
Yeah, somebody came to me the other day and says, yeah, I was in the original Chicken Barn, which is the first place when I got called in ministry. My pastor, Wayne Proctor, he was up in Nashville, Tennessee. He said, Doyle, I'm going out to Joelton, and they're starting a church. They want to start a church out there, and somebody's cleaning out their chicken barn, and we're just going to have service. Would you mind going out there with me? And so the first place I ever played with him and in ministry was that old chicken bar. And there was a guy at a couple of nights ago that came out that was there that night and gave his heart to the Lord.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, brother. Thanks for calling in. Charles from Texas is on the line. Charles, welcome to the program.
Jeff, thank you so much for hosting.
Thank you.
I really appreciate Doyle. He was quite a surprise for me when I first encountered him. But with your love of finger picking and whatnot, I wanted to remind you of Elizabeth Cotton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She and Travis were pretty good together.
Yeah, Freight Train.
Not together, but.
Yeah.
I've never heard her.
Oh, yeah. She's the one that had.
Oh, that was her song?
Yeah. That was her song. Whether she did she write that or did you know about that?
Absolutely, Charles. Sure.
Yeah.
I had a younger influence back in the 60s when I was in Kentucky. There was a bluegrass player there named Dan Crary.
Oh, I knew Dan. I know him very well. I was on his movie that he made about the guitar with Mason Williams and Doc Watson and Eric Johnson. There were a lot of Albert Lee. There were a lot of us pickers there. That was a great thing. And Dan wrote that whole thing.
Boy, lightning fast. Yeah, I badgered him at the Red Dog Saloon in Kentucky until he finally agreed to teach this old sergeant in the Army how to play guitar, because I heard him sing a song called Sweet Sunny South. and he agreed, and he taught me some lessons, and I've lived with him to this day. Anyway, I appreciate you guys. Appreciate your testimony. And Jeff, thank you so much, because we need that platform.
Hey, thank you, Charles.
Thank
God
you.
Bless God. You, and have a wonderful holiday.
God bless you. All right, Doyle, we're last minute. Lynn, I'm sorry from Arkansas. We're not going to be able to get to you. But, hey, thanks for coming on today.
It's my pleasure.
I always appreciate
Merry
it.
Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas for you. Do you have some things scheduled between now and the 25th?
Oh, yeah, always. I'll be in Nashville in a couple of days, and I'm going over to, I don't remember the name of the church. You can go to my website, and then also I'll be in Georgia next weekend. And then I'm going, Haley has moved to Abilene. Remember my daughter, Haley?
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be at their church. They started a church there, and that'll be Christmas Eve. So if you're in the Abilene area, would love for you to come out. And
that's
TLC Church area.
All right. Well, thank you, Doyle, for being on the program. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and let the Lord use you as His witness. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword, baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.